All right, family. So I came back from Clifty Falls, Indiana, Madison, something like that. And dude, it's amazing. I've gotten two weddings out of the way since January. My daughter that graduated at the Purdue Fort Wayne, and I got her married off to a young man in January, married my son off this weekend in Clifty Falls. And why is that important? Because I got to do it. And for you dads, you'll get to do it. But you got to keep doing this in order to be able to do this out here. But a lot of us, tonight's called fretting, F-R-E-T-T-I-N-G. So I know that we have some that bring their Bibles, some that do not. When I first walked in tonight, I was like, yeah, you know, I seem to be the one that wants to bring homework in and something to challenge your minds while we're speaking, but I believe that's good. I believe it's good to be able to look at something that you put your own writing on, and it's something that you can look back on. You know, so what is fretting? You know, it's being anxious, worrying, being discontent. Another meaning of this word would be to distress oneself. I can attest to my guys from Dream Center and the other guys that I mentor with, and you know, those with Drug Court, Hope Court, that there's been a lot of times you're worrying when you walk into those courtrooms. You're worried about being overburdened.
Does anybody want a Bible? Raise your hand.
One, two. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
See, she really does like you guys. Her and I have a great relationship. When she isn't here, it's great. Just kidding. If we didn't like each other as brothers and sisters, we wouldn't pick on each other. Amen? Okay, so what do you worry about? Paying the bills? What? Paying your court fees? Paying your child support? Maybe you worry about having visits with your children. Maybe you're worried about your family. Man, I burned my bridges with my family. Are you God? Are you God? No. God's in the business of healing and taking care of our worries in a way that causes us to trust in Him. Mike was speaking earlier, and what came to my mind is I seen this thing that says, I took my towel and I threw it in, and God threw it back, said, wipe your face, you're almost finished. That's what kind of God we serve. Are you ready to stay in? Fretting, worrying is optional misery. Did you catch that? Why are you going to worry about something you have no control over? You can't control Wendy Davis, Fran Gull, Serbeck, Zant, nobody. But you can control yourselves. Amen?
Amen?
You can control how you respond to the challenges that you are now placed in front of. Because, see, bottom line is, who gave them that authority? We did. We did the consequence, or we did the deed. Now we got to pay up to the consequences. But, see, the consequences, as I've seen right here tonight, are growth. Amy is an amazing person of character with integrity that grew because, see, she wanted it. Mike, suicidal, not wanting to do nothing. Been a doper since he was 16. But he made a choice to stay in the game or get out of the game and stay in a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? We don't have to be distressed. It's a choice. Why do we do it? That's a question only you can ask yourself. But do you ask yourselves, why do you worry about something if you're doing the next right thing? I had a lifetime license suspension. I was never going to have a driver's license again. So when I drove in that 6 inches, the mirror, the rearview mirror. Because I had to make sure if the cops were coming. drive like this. I didn't care if there was pedestrians or cars out there. I'd peek every once in a while. I just wanted to make sure. Because, see, I was worried that my actions were going to cause effect of getting locked up for driving with a suspended license. But God, he said, hey. I'm like, hey, what? He's like, why don't you try to take care of those things? I have a brother, we call him JC, that is in the process of taking care of getting his driver's license reinstated. Praise God. Amen. He's doing what's right. That boy don't even want to turn a vehicle on at the house. He's like, it's middle of winter. You start the truck, not happening. I don't want keys. I don't want in it. You know, if the passenger seat's too close to the steering wheel, he sits in the back seat. But see, he knows. He's accepted that he cannot drive. I went to the BMB, said, I want my driver's license. They started laughing. They said, you are suspended in Alaska, Oregon, California, Utah, Colorado, and Texas. I said, but not Indiana. They didn't see humor in that. But what they told me was, write those judges and ask those judges if they will pull those lifetime and suspensions. Thank you, man. I'm glad. I'm getting old, dude. Words are fleeting. I wrote every one of them. California said, absolutely. It's been 10 years. No problem. Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, or Texas, no problem. Been 10 years. No, nothing on my driver's license. Only because I hadn't been caught. Alaska said, ain't a chance. We're not letting you off. And so I called Alaska. I was like, hey, dude, wait a minute, man. I'm trying to get a CDL driver's license, blah, blah, blah. And he said, let me make a deal with you. I will give you permission to so you can get your driver's license in the state of Indiana on one contingency. And I said, made happen. What is it? He said, you never come back to the state of Alaska. I said, you got it, boss. Alaska's cold. So I now have a CDL driver's license. I now have a Class A CDL driver's license. I now have a motorcycle endorsement, and I can drive a car. Why? Because of God. Now, I don't even need that rear view mirror very often, because most of us truck drivers don't use that rear view mirror. We use our mirrors. But see, I'm now moving forward, as are we. Primarily, why do we do it? Primarily is because we're not trusting God with whatever thing or circumstances we are worrying about. Matthew 6:27 says, and which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? What's worrying going to give you? An ulcer? Huh? I'm going to worry myself right into a drink? Well, I'm already going to know I'm in trouble with the courts. I might as well just get high further. I'm just going to worry about that they're going to find out I lied on this, that, or the other. If you don't lie, you probably don't got to worry about it no more. You know, again, I brag on my guys a lot because I am so, so thankful that I get to be a part of their lives. I ain't had a dirty drug test in my house since I've been in there in almost 10 months. Wow. 10 months. Why? They're doing it. They're doing it. That's my, I call them my dream team. Yeah. They're my boys. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? The NLT says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? No. But it can sure distract from your 24 hours in a day. It can sure distract in how you respond to your parole officer or your case manager or the judge or, ready for this one, your spouse. Proverbs 19:3 says, a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart frets against the Lord. We cause our own dismay. We do it ourselves. She had a meeting to go to, and she asked to be dismissed, and I told her, no, just kidding. Greg, see you, bud. Thanks, man. Romans 1, 21 and 22 says, what are you doing? I thought he was coming for a hug. No. Let me back up. Oh, I love you, Greg. I'm just messing with that one over there. Many of our difficulties result from our own decisions. When things don't go the way we want, we complain. When we complain about our circumstances, we are fretting against the Lord. We are discontented. When we fret, we are denying God's goodness in our lives. Worry is a lack of action or lack of faith. You worrying about your bills? Are you working? Are you involved with your church so deeply that if you have a situation that your church doesn't say, oh no, I haven't seen you here in 6 months, and now you want your light bill paid? Or are they saying, hey, let us walk this out with you? Amen. Are you using your resources properly? And this is another example. We go in our house in the Dream Center, we have phases, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And at the fourth phase, you already know how to budget your money. You're working. You know what it's like to do ministry work outside of yourself. You're established with your families. You are doing everything for your life to grow. Amen? Amen. But you're still in a place where somebody can help you out and give you a hand up. We now started with my brother here, Joshua, supplied him with his own personal vehicle, his, gave it to him, gave him the title Sunday Night at Misfits. Why? Because, see, that's going to better his life to better your lives. Does that make sense? He's now in a position of being able to allocate for insurance, for gas, for time management, to make it to meetings and stuff. That's giving each other a hand up. So his worry is less than it was before Sunday. So we're in this together. This faith-based ministry is just as important to you as the Dream Center, as your church, as a rescue mission, or any of the other places that are investing, you know what? Christ in your life. The solid foundation on Jesus Christ. The gifts of life are eternal. And what we get to do down here is give each other a hand up, not a hand out. Romans 1, 21, 22 says, yes, they know God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. You can't fool God. You can't fool your case manager too long. I tried fooling my wife. That didn't work very well. I was the fool. This scripture tells us that the depravity of a man starts with loss of thankfulness. That's why I started with the question of what are you thankful for? When we fret or worry or complain about the way our life is going, we aren't living in thankfulness. We ought to be thankful we ain't at 417 South Calhoun Street any longer, or Westville, or Plainville, or whateverville we were at. We got another shot at it. Some of our brothers will never get that shot outside of those walls. Some of our brothers and sisters will never get that shot after three on each side carried them to their final resting spot. We're alive. We have another shot at it. We have another shot at it. When we fret or worry or complain about the way our life is going, we aren't living in thankfulness. When all we focus on is the negative, our minds become darkened. You ever sit there depressed? Suicide, I was suicidal. Depressed, some of these ladies and men, we know what depression is. Just staring into nothingness. What did that get you? And I don't mean it disrespectful in any way, shape, or form. What I'm trying to let you all know tonight is that the hope is in Jesus Christ. It's not in the dope. It's not in the alcohol. It's not in women. It's not in men. It's not in that type of a situation, but it is endless possibilities with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. They were claiming to be wise. Instead, became utter fools. I heard one time, I was talking to a probation officer the other day, and he said that his client came in, and as soon as he started in with his story, he goes, wait. He goes, the guy before you used that story. So you don't think they've heard what we've had to say? Dude, I started using them stories at 13. And I'm a little older than most of you, except Mick. He's old as Methuselah. But we love you. Thus comes your paperwork. I'm going to tell you what we need to do, what I suggest that I do, and I'm going to offer what I do to you. Number one, on your second sheet, you'll have some fill in the blanks. The first blank is recognize and accept the sovereignty of God in our lives. Recognize and accept the sovereignty of God in our lives. Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." Number two, relinquish our anxiety to him. Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." We need to say, "Lord, you have 100 solutions to this problem, and I only need one." Then wait in anticipation for what he will do. But see, you have to ask. You got to go to prayer, family. You got to ask. Number three, rejoice in his goodness. Rejoice in his goodness. Psalm 27:13-14. "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Wait for the Lord. Number four. Remember that suffering we face purifies us. Remember that the suffering we face purifies us. The Bible often compares refining us to gold and silver. As it's refined, gold and silver refining happens in the fire. We're in the fire, family. Every time that gold gets to a certain heat, they skim off the impurities, and then they heat it up again. And they skim off the impurities. And they do that as a process over and over and over. We are more valuable to God than gold. He's going to hold us to the fire. He's going to hold us to the fire until we're purified. And you know when that's going to happen? Till we're 100% purified? In eternity. We're never going to be perfect. There was only one, and his name was Jesus Christ, and he died for you and he died for me. He was the only perfect one. But every time we get that layer of crap cleaned off of us, were growing more and more and more and becoming more and more of a man of, and women of integrity. Men and women that are respected in their community. Men and women that have great character. They're competent. They're showing up for work. They're pursuing work till they can't stand it no more. And the people are like, three strikes, hire him. Lyle, showing up at work at 4 a.m. on disability at one point, finally called disability and says, keep that money, send it to someone who needs it. Man has showed Satan the boot. What have you booted out of your life? I can pick on Toby. I watched Toby for years now do the emotional oscillation. Get it and go. But he's in the fire again. And he's been scraped off again and now he's shining again. Doug, perfect example. I've watched Doug come in to manage when I'm not there. The man had to grow and go through the fire as well. I could go around this room. Jenny. I ain't even picking on you over there. Yeah, you know, he's like, don't see me, darn. Kidding you, bro. I love you. Remember that the suffering we face purifies us. The Bible often compares refining us gold and silver is refined. Gold and silver refining happens in the fire. The gold is placed in a cubicle, a crucible. A crucible is a container of metal employed for heating substances to high temperatures. The crucible is then placed in a furnace, and you ready for this? And heated to 2,012 degrees Fahrenheit. What? That's hot. And you think you're in the fire. During this heating, the impurities will rise to the surface. It is then periodically removed from the furnace, and the crucible is then, so these impurities can be skimmed off the surface. It is then returned to the furnace. This process is repeated until the impurities stop rising to the surface. You tired of seeing Fran go? Tired of being in that fire? Tired of seeing your wife or your husband say, oh, not again. Have you cleaned up again and let God heat you to over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit? Another definition of the crucible is a severe test or trial. Isaiah 48:10 says, I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. How many times have you been in that holding cell and said, I knew I shouldn't have done this again. What the heck was I thinking? I'm telling my story. If yours fits in it, praise God. Don't praise God. I mean, if it does, you know what I mean. But see, six strong men didn't carry me to my final resting spot. I want to hear when I get up there to the heavens, hey, yeah, your name's right here. Come on in, my good and faithful servant. And I want to be in heaven with you. I want to be in heaven with you guys. Number five, claim God's promises. God is true to his word. He is faithful to keep his promises. Pick a promise and ask him to make it true in your life. But see, you got to know God's promises before you pick one. So are you reading? Are you praying? Are you seeking out godly mentors that will teach you God's promises? See, there's a lot of people that have street wisdom. But there's only a few that will teach you God's wisdom. See, this isn't a Donnie program. This isn't a Mick. This isn't a Lyle. This isn't a Pam, Marvin. This is yours. We get to do this with you. But if I don't know what address it is in the Bible that I can show you, I pray you check it. Because false prophets know the word. But they deceive it just a little bit. Just a little bit. And that little bit can draw you right back into the pit of hell. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, "All things are possible to those and to the one who believes." But do you believe? So the second sheet of paper that I gave you is for you. There's scripture attached here because, see, I know the power is in the Word of God. So if you need wisdom, I gave you a couple of chapters in the Bible that are God's words that give you wisdom. Guidance. You need healing? It's in the Word. Salvation. There's people sitting in here right now that say, "Oh, I know Jesus," but they haven't accepted Jesus. There are people in here right now that have accepted Jesus but stepped away and need to be restored back to the salvation that Jesus Christ has gave them. Do you need a change of heart? Reconciliation back to the cross? There's scripture for that. Endurance. Mike, perfect story for today. He knew God wanted him in that job. And he had the endurance to persevere to that. Praise God. Protection. You want the protection around you? Going through that worldly fight with people? Scripture to remove hindrances. Growth of a new believer. Prayer for your child. Prayer for the seemingly impossible. I know people right in here. I just can't even believe in the flesh what God does in His will. He removed 100 years off my prison sentence. 100 years. 100 years. I know there's others in here that got the same blessing. Assurance of forgiveness. Read about it. God's presence and His care for you. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. Don't put it in us. Put it in Him. See, I say this every single time I'm up here. That needs to say entrance. That's your battle. This is your safe haven. You know when you come in here, there's no F-bombs. There's no people cutting each other. Playing with each other, but not. But there's respect in here. There's integrity in here. There's mentors in here that want to walk it out. We have board meetings and have talked about how can we become more involved in your lives. We haven't found that answer. Because, see, it's not up to us. It's up to you. I had a really dear friend say to me, "Man, this and happening, do I chase him?" I said, "Absolutely not. Because if I work harder than you do, I'm working harder than you do. But if you make a phone call and say, 'I need you,' I will run, get in the car and find you and help you. But we don't want to have it happen at South Calhoun Street. We don't want to wait until you call and say, 'Hey, I have court tomorrow. Will you say I was at faith-based, blah, blah, blah.'" Stop. If you were here, they know you were here. You know why they would know you were here? You ready? By your actions. Pretty simple. By your actions. You showed up to all their appointments. You showed up to all their classes. You peed clean. You did what they asked you to do. They don't even need to ask if you were here. Because, see, your actions showed you were here. But we have these cards. Messi's got some of them. They're green cards. They got every single one of our phone numbers on it. Most of you are on my Facebook page, especially my ministry page. If you're not, don't know Pam's number, it's on there for you women. Lyle's number's on there. Kayvon's number's on there. Mick's number's on there. Jose's number's on there. Reach out before you have to We'll just let it at that. Amen?